It's time for season two of the Remoter Podcast. I'm your host, Josephine. As a continuation from season one with Alex and Andreas, I had the opportunity to interview some remote work leaders, ranging from companies, consultants, advocates, and more, to add to Remoter's stash of free resources and human-centered stories, enriching our educational platform about remote work. This podcast is sponsored by Tori, a new kind of professional network that automatically connects talent with opportunity. Founded by Alexander Torrenegra, our goal is to make work fulfilling for everyone. Find the job of your dreams by visiting tori.co. That's T-O-R-R-E.co. Not too far from King's Cross Station, in the basement of Frequency Coffee, I met Kate after a long day of work. I remember she walked in just as I was eating my salad, aka my first meal of the day, because I had forgotten to eat all day. It just so happens that Kate's story is a good reminder of the importance of work-life integration. She wears many hats, and working remotely has allowed her to put another one on as she learns woodworking with her husband outside the hustle and bustle of London. Kate, if you're listening to this, I'd love to see your workshop one day. But in the meantime, I can only hope that I'm telling your story properly on the Remoter Podcast. So welcome to another episode of the Remoter Podcast. With me, I have Kate Nafisi. It is currently 7 p.m. on a very windy Wednesday. And we're currently in the Frequency Coffee Shop. They've got two meeting rooms in the basement, and it's a really cool venue. So welcome, Kate, to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And again, like, I think this is, it's amazing how, like, on the outside, the space looks really small, and then they have all this space downstairs. Kate, could you introduce yourself for our listeners?
Absolutely. I am a part-time product designer and part-time woodworker. So that means that I do digital design for startups and businesses and agencies, and I do that remotely from wherever I'm staying. But I also work and live in a little cottage in the countryside, and I'm learning woodworking with my husband.
That's really, really cool. I've checked out some of your work, and it looks really awesome. What kind of work are you doing right now?
Yeah, good question. So something that I wanted to do for a long time now is games design. So I'm working with a client at the moment on improving their UX flow to help increase the retention rate on day one, two, and three of the user experience of the app. And it's a really cool app, so I can't tell you anything about it because it's all top secret. But games design is a new thing for me. I've normally worked in traditional software.
So where did you first start your remote work journey?
The first time remote working was when I was a product designer at Facebook. I worked there full-time as an employee for 3 years. And at the beginning, I worked just in London. But over time, I had to adapt to working with up to 50 different teams. Not all at once, because that would have been mayhem. But we were spinning plates with about 50 different teams at one point. And that meant working with New York, with San Francisco, with Seattle, with us in London, and sometimes even other locations. It was a big, big mix of time zones.
And right now, do you find yourself working mostly from home, or are you also exploring co-working spaces? Or
at the moment, yeah, I'm working from home, and I'm actually developing my office at the moment. So we're building out kind of the interior design and changing things a lot so that I'm more comfortable. Because previously it's been grab a chair, grab a table, clear a space wherever you can, kind of
course,
more hapsodesical. But now I'm trying to design it to be a purpose-built space. Mm-hmm. That's just for me and my comfort. And having been working remotely for a while now, that I kind of know what I need from a space a bit better.
And are you building everything yourself?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yep. We're going to be custom making a table. My husband's designing me a chair. It's going to be filled with plants, lots of light, lots of textures. I like to touch things because if you're always on the computer tapping away, I feel like you're deprived of your haptic senses. So things like rugs or different types of fabrics and different types of material like wood and concrete and, you know, that kind of thing. Real mix it up. Otherwise, you're just touching a keyboard all day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true for me. I just wanted to bring the conversation back. I just wanted to hear a little bit about how your experience was working with such a distributed team and having it be the first time you're working remotely.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock to the system at first because working remote was the first hurdles of not having the luxury of face-to-face and learning how that works. And then on top of it, really having very small hours of overlap time mm-hmm. where we could conveniently work, you know, where it wasn't the middle of night for them or, you know, you staying late. I think the first thing that we tried to work out was what is the most convenient time and how can we alternate if there isn't a convenient time? So it's a bit like when you're with a friend or with a partner and you're thinking, okay, let's divide the chores and let's see you do the washing up this time and I do the washing up that time. It was kind of like that. You come in early one morning for us and we stay late one night for you kind of thing. Okay. So really negotiating that so that one person wasn't always having to make a sacrifice.
That's true. And I believe that that's a lot of people's first interaction or like segue into like, oh, remote working. They're not in front of me. I'm not in front of them. This is how it's working. When did you start kind of catching on to these little nuances, like other nuances as such?
Yeah, I think it's like anything. When you're new to something, you can't even imagine how you might offend someone or make their life difficult because you just haven't had that experience. It doesn't mean that you're not empathetic or it doesn't mean that you're selfish. It just means that you've literally never been there before. So I'm hoping that, you know, if I can share some of those things with you, then if you're starting out, you will be a really respectful coworker and will kind of preempt some of these things ahead of time.
Of course. So yeah, like what are some of your learnings, the ins and outs that you picked up on?
I think there are some do's and there are some don'ts. I'll start with some don'ts.
Okay.
Don't set up a meeting without asking the person's time zone. We think, oh, well, they work in this office, so they must be on this time zone. No, they might have traveled somewhere else. They might have a job that you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. And making an assumption about their time zone is the first area of confusion.
I've done the first point before where I looked at their LinkedIn and I was like, this location. And I was like, oh, okay, great. They were not there. And I was just like, oh, I can't just assume that just because it says on LinkedIn that they're located in wherever they're located means that they're there right now.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully, neither of us were late. But then there was this jungle behind her and I was like, you're not in Europe. There's no way you're in Europe right now. But I'm glad this worked out.
Yeah, yeah. Another one is don't send a telephone number without the international code. Because again, what you've just done is you've given someone another job to do.
People call a lot, like actually from their phones and do use the dial-in numbers.
It depends. A lot of people, when they work from home, mm-hmm. they will call in from a landline because their internet might not be very good.
Oh, okay.
So it's also important not to assume that someone's calling in from a really fast speed band internet. And so again, it's all about these assumptions that we make.
Mm-hmm. I know that right now, well, a couple of companies and teams and even the team at Tori, they always try to encourage using video chat whenever possible, just to be able to see the person's face. So I actually haven't even thought about like, you know, of that, like when people maybe they're not in the right or they're not in an area where they can turn on their video and they may have to call. I have not thought about that, but I know that Zoom does their automatic generator with all those numbers and I always want to delete everything that they write, but I don't because I know like, okay, someone might need this information.
Yeah, I definitely. Won't delete it. The other thing is it sounds more obscure, but in tech, we often assume, okay, someone has really good internet, right? Mm-hmm. Or they have a minimum.
Yeah.
But in a lot of countries or parts of the world where just the signals are like a gap in the signal, mm-hmm. they might be in a very you know, connected part of the world, but just where they're living has a huge dip. I definitely experienced this when I moved to the countryside. Mm. You think of the UK as a very connected place, has good internet, but there are some spots, there's, you know, dead spots.
Oh,
and
okay.
to have terrible internet. And this can mean that you are just on a one-off occasion having a really tough time with a call. And so sometimes it's good just to offer someone, hey, do you want to just go to audio? Because you can see that they're struggling. Mm-hmm. And instead of judging them and being like, oh, this is unprofessional. Mm-hmm. You know, they should have found a place. I think it's better to be just compassionate and say, yeah, you're obviously struggling.
What are some of your do's then?
You can create an overlap clock. So write down on a clock face, like draw a clock and show the hours that you work and then show the hours that they work. And then basically identify the overlap.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then you can kind of color that in, or you can just write, okay, we have 2 hours overlap between, you know, 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., whatever it is. Or if you want to work with someone that, again, has to drop off kids, or you might say, well, this is the only overlap time we have. And they say, yeah, but this is the only time, quality time I have with my children. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of negotiation of, you know, when it's suitable for others. And I think, again, just not assuming and always asking, and people feel really loved and respected when you do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there any other do's that you have?
I think it's really cool when you ask someone if they have another meeting afterwards, because what we tend to do is talk, and then you see you've got 2 minutes left and quickly summarize the meeting. And they actually need those 2 minutes to get to their next meeting.
I know what some people do is they only schedule a 25-minute call. So mm. that gives them the 5 minutes to prepping for their next call at home or online and whatever. So I know like it's some that's something that people have done or are doing right now within their scheduling. Mm. And
yeah, that's a great self-management tool. Yeah. And it also gives you time to just
take a breath.
If you're talking all day, then yeah, it can be quite intense.
Have you ever been in those situations where your days have just been full-on meetings?
And absolutely, it's just- yeah, yeah. And you think, wait a minute, I haven't had a toilet break yet.
Yeah.
Or I need to drink some water now, you know, or I didn't have lunch. And you're like, this is not balance.
Yeah.
Let's bring the balance back. Yeah. And I think just talking about it beforehand even just brings people awareness and attention to it.
So when you were working with your teams in the Americas, when you first started working with them, did you kind of go down that path a lot where you, oh, I forgot to go to the bathroom or forgot to eat lunch and all that? And what were some of the solutions that you found worked for you in figuring out how to maintain that balance?
Yeah, definitely trial and error. So sometimes I do what you mentioned, which is purposefully scheduling gaps in between my calls so that I had some time just to for myself or to think or to write up notes. Another time was blocking off my calendar mm-hmm. and saying, I don't do calls during these times. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the opposite of identifying overlapping areas. It's saying, I'm sorry, this is my heads down time. This is my focus time. And another way is, I think more specific to having jams with designers, is to have a more off the phone. I call it off the when you leave the phone off the hook. So off the hook time is just when you leave your camera on. And they leave their camera on. And it's like you're in the same room, but you're not. And you're just kind of hanging out and you can hear each other writing or typing. And
oh, okay, okay.
It's less of a formal meeting. It's within these hours, we're both going to put our phones off the hook and we're going to, you know, randomly chat. And it's really nice because you get that sense of closeness and intimacy with the other person. And you can also just say, oh, hey, by the way, blah, 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 as if they were right next to you. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like your coworker is in the desk next to you. Mm-hmm. And that's also really informal and quite fun.
And I'm sure you have a longer do's and don'ts list from all the lessons that you've learned with your time at Facebook, and I'm sure now as well. I wanted to ask you, do you have any suggestions for remote teams in terms of tools or things that will help globally distributed teams be more productive while working together?
The one that I really, really rely on a lot is a Figure It Out. It's a Chrome app that was developed by a friend, actually, who I used to work with. And it's so useful. Every time you open a new tab, it shows you these columns in a kind of rainbow style of all the different time zones that you've added. So I create a new tab and I can see 5 different time zones. I know what time it is for them. And I don't have to think about the maths, like, oh, is it +5 or minus? And is it this or that? You know, it just removes the headache of working out what someone's time zone is. And it's pretty.
I know I find myself always, I can't express how many times a day I open a new tab and I'm just like, London time zone to blah, blah, blah time zone, trying to figure it out. And I know it's on my phone. I could just open the World Clock app on my iPhone, or I could just have it there in a new tab displaying for me. I'm looking at it right now and it's really, really, it is really pretty. It's people out there who enjoy their colors. This is a really good one to have.
I think on the other side, though, I wouldn't want someone listening to think, oh my goodness, all this thinking is too much. I'm going to become neurotic, you know, constantly worrying about what people think. I think that would be an extreme as well. You don't want to go that way. You know, you have to own your own experiences. And if you have a problem, it's your duty to say something and say that this is not working for me, or I think that it could work better. And I presume that other people will do that. So I don't worry about them, you know, having a terrible time and not saying anything. But I do try and be thoughtful. It's just about just examples of trying to be respectful and adapting. That's all.
And with all the experiences that you've had, now you are working as a remote product design consultant. How are you finding this? Solopreneur. I've also heard that term recently.
Yeah. Love it. Digital nomad. Yeah, I think I'm just applying all that I've learned and seeing what sticks. So something that I've noticed is that when companies are not remote, and this is the first time that, you know, they're doing it, you want to give them a little bit more face-to-face time to build that trust first. So the company I'm working with more recently, I've been front loading the amount of days that I work face to face with them, and then slowly, bit by bit, kind of withdrawing and building that trust up so that they can see that my attention, my quality of work, and my level of communication actually hasn't changed. And then by that, demonstrating that, they don't worry at all after that. They have no concerns. And then also trying to address the concerns up front. So when a client says, you know, oh, but what happens if we need you? Or, oh, I don't know about that. Sounds like we're not going to be able to have access to you. I'm not sure. Just explaining in that moment exactly why it's not a problem. And also saying, but if you need me to come in, I'll come in. And that immediately quietens and they're like, okay, if something goes wrong, she's going to be there, you know. And so I don't want to be too bullish and say, look, I'm never going to come in, because I think that just makes teams that are new to it quite anxious. And then then you kind of risk them saying no as well. And you don't get that work.
Right.
So I think being a bit flexible at the beginning helps you get the job.
Before coming to London, I was in Portugal and Ireland, and I did this panel over in Ireland. They were talking about the hard part about remote work. A lot of audience questions that came up were around, how do you deal with client management if you want to work remotely? Because apparently some of their clients are very, nervous when you tell them, oh, I will be working remotely. We don't have an office, or these team members don't actually live in this country and all that, and they get kind of wary. I guess that's also a part of being set in their ways. And I hope that, you know, with more and more conversations about remote work coming up, that people will start to also normalize to this and be like, oh, maybe this isn't so far-fetched after all.
When you talk about, you know, how Airbnb was the weirdest thing, having someone go into your home,
right,
and now it's normal, or sharing a car, or, you know, we share all kinds of things nowadays. I think that helps people to go, oh, yeah, technology and ways of new ideologies and ways of being do change quickly. But I found that most people are actually really open to it, of having a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. No one has said to me, I'm sorry, we don't do that.
Okay.
People have always said, okay, I don't think it will work for us, but should we have a chat about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been able to say, cool, so what are your fears? Tell me what your main concerns would be. And then I can literally address them. But I think if you don't ask the client, what is your biggest fear?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're constantly having a conversation with an elephant in the room and you've no idea what they're actually trying to avoid. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think hitting it heads on really helps.
So what were the fears that you've heard from clients?
Yeah, so a key one is being a bit behind everybody else. Okay. Because people have a lot of, in the office, have a lot of conversations just in the corridor or by someone's desk. Or, and I think a lot of clients say, wow, I'm going to have to keep updating her. Mm-hmm. This is going to be annoying, you know, constantly being on the back foot. But what I normally say to them is that a lot actually changes within one day. And so actually, you can ping pong between two or three different ideas within one day.
That's true.
And then if I was constantly being updated, it might actually cause a lot of thrash. So it's up to them when they, the frequency that they want to update me. And when they feel that something is, you know, fairly settled, they can update me then. Mm-hmm. Or if they want me involved in that conversation, then they can, you know, keep pinging me. But that's up to them. I wouldn't worry about, you know, them feeling they have to keep me in the loop in everything.
As a designer, you know, like, you don't want to keep changing your work 500 times. You just want that. I know that, like, honestly, it never really happens. It's just a very, in an ideal world, you will get one brief and it will not change. But
yeah, that never happens.
Yeah, that never happens.
But then again, with remote working, often if the change is happening throughout a week, maybe, or over a couple of days, I write a lot of notes to make mm-hmm. sure that I keep an eye on what's happening. It's actually a really helpful self-awareness tool. If you need to play back those meeting notes to someone else, and you can say, they can see that they've changed their mind a few times, and you can document those changes, and you can always go back to them.
That is true.
So there's more perks there, people.
We're almost finished my list of questions for this episode, but I wanted to dig deeper into other disciplines. I want to know what working remotely has opened up for you. Life isn't just about your career and work and all that kind of stuff. It's about enjoying other things as well.
Yeah, I am really grateful for the extra time I have to learn new skills. So I joined my husband, Abdullah Nafisi, and together we make Nafisi Studio. And we make bespoke handmade furniture and sculpture. Together, I started helping him kind of market his business and organize. And then slowly, I was like, oh, this is really cool. I want to design furniture. And then slowly, we started sketching together. And then I was learning a bit of wood turning. Then I was learning a bit of cutting and marking. And slowly, I was able to help assist him, you know, with polishing and sanding mm-hmm. and oiling the pieces, having kind of extra time with him and being at home, having our lunch together, being able to spend more quality time as a family is really, really nice. And I really, really love that balance of, you know, physical design and digital design.
What are some of the projects you're working on with Nafisi Studios, other than making your own office?
So making office is top of mind at the moment. But we have been running courses. So I run steam bending courses. Steam bending is kind of an ancient woodworking technique where you put wood under steam, really hot steam environment in a box. And the lignin, the glue inside the fibers of the wood starts to go really soft. And you can actually bend it into really cool shapes. It's really, really fun.
So it seems like, yes, you really value the work-life balance that comes with working remotely. Would you have any points of caution that you would like to share for our listeners as well? We also like to cover both sides of the topic.
That's a great point. Yeah. I think for me, the remote work really works really well because I'm someone that's quite proactive and quite disciplined. So I know a lot of friends have said, oh, I couldn't do that because as soon as I, you know, come home, I just want to open a beer and kind of chill out on the TV. So I think if you do need someone to kick you up the bum, then remote work can be tricky. Another thing to be aware of is if you're someone that gets lonely easily or just prefers to be in big groups, mm-hmm. like maybe you don't like working by yourself in a room, then you can still do remote work, but you just try and hang out in public spaces, mm-hmm. like co-working spaces. I think the other thing is, and then the other thing is just around getting work. I think it's just good to be aware that you need to be comfortable with reaching out to people and saying, hey, I'm looking for remote work. And also convincing people that they should take you on. Being an ambassador for remote work, I think, is really helpful. And you can get, I've had quite a few clients who were not thinking about remote positions. They weren't advertising for them.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we'd had a conversation, they were thinking about it.
Right.
So,
right,
you know, be willing to sell it as well.
I want to know if you think that your story, your experiences, your values will encourage other individuals to kind of look into or maybe even start a remote lifestyle of their own.
I hope so. I know that I'm really enjoying it and I'm reaping all the benefits. And when you have something good, you just want to share it with everybody and say, hey, mm-hmm. come on and join me. But I think to your question earlier about, you know, people have to think for themselves. They have to know themselves and they have to know if it suits them or not. And I think the most powerful thing for me with remote work is it stands for something that I really believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that your work should speak for you and nothing else. And often where you've been to school, where your parents live, how much money you have, whether or not you can commute, whether you have the money
right.
to pay for train tickets, whether you have, you know, whether you're able to network with other people. I mean, that costs a lot of money. There's a lot of coffees every day, you know, constantly networking. So what I like about remote work is it democratizes that access to top talent. And it actually says, no, your skills are what make you amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we are willing to hire you wherever you are, whatever you can afford, and to make that happen.
So, Kate, I just wanted to thank you so much for spending time with me and participating in the Remoter Project, being part of this episode of the Remoter Podcast.
Thank you. It's been fun.
And I just wanted to ask, do you have any last words for our listeners that you'd like to share, put out there?
Yeah, summarize. Be empathetic. Think about what your coworkers might need. Don't assume and just ask. Just ask and you will find a wonderful new relationship as a remote worker and you'll be great.
Communicate, communicate, communication. So thank you very much again. Remoter Podcast Season 2 is recorded, produced, and edited by Josephine C. It is mixed and mastered by Steven Stepanek and Vanessa Monroy. Graphics and visuals by Valentina Castillo. The music track used is Skip by Old Boy from Soundstripe. Follow and subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget, we've recently made our Founding and Growing Remotely online course completely accessible and listed on our site. Visit us at remoter.com, that's remoter.com, for more relevant content. Follow us on social media at Remoter Project to stay up to date with our latest initiatives and collaborations with other remote first companies around the world. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about each episode, so feel free to tag us on socials anytime. And remember, we're here to make work fulfilling, so what part will you play in shaping the future of work?